around. You test on the days. Or you test on the hour, Father. The Mishnah. The Mishnah said the Shovin Elu the Elu Shetoin and Koras Beis Habad Digulei Hagas, that both the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold that even though Beis Shammai holds you're not allowed to start processes which, before Shabbos, that they should continue on Shabbos, but everybody agrees that you're allowed to put the beams on olives and grapes and let the olive oil or the wine come out on Shabbos. Start at Erev Shabbos and let it come out on Shabbos. Mara says, Maishna kulu de gozru be shamai, Maishna koros be sabad, de gule hagas, de logos. What's the difference between this and any of the other processes that you're not allowed to start before Shabbos? So Mara says, Hanach di ovid lu be shabbos mechayiv chatos, gozru bu. All the other ones, if you would do them on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv achatos, the rasu min haTorah. So therefore, they were gozer not to start the process erev Shabbos for fear that you would do it on Shabbos. Therefore, gozru beis shamay, erev Shabbos im chashecha, koros beis habad, the igulei hagas, the oved lu b'Shabbos lo mechayiv chatos. But these, we'll see in 1 second why, squeezing the olive oil or the wine out of the grapes in the state that they're in, you wouldn't be chayiv achatos if you did it on Shabbos. So lo gozer, therefore they weren't gozer. So man tana de chomidi de osi memela shakir dami. Right? Who is the tana who holds that anything that would happen by itself anyway, if you squeeze out the oil and the wine and the grapes and the olives, right? In a state where the grapes and the olives are already mashed to a point where the oil and the wine would come out anyway, even if you just left them alone. Right? All these things are talking where you're not taking whole grapes and whole olives and beginning to press them. They didn't do it like that. They used to first grind them, trample them, and then they put the beans on top of them and let the wine and the rest of the oil come out. And that wouldn't make the oil and the wine come out. The oil and the wine were separated already, and if they would just leave it, it would come out by itself, but slowly. This just made it come quicker. So therefore, basically, the malacha of separating oil and wine from grapes is mefarik, is dosh. But if it's already separated, and it's just a matter of facilitating it getting out, that's only durabon. That's not min haTorah. And therefore, that's what happened. They ground these things up, they trampled them, then they put the boards on it. Even if they put the boards on it on Shabbos, it would only be an issur durabon. So who's the tana who holds that anything that's going to happen by itself anyway? If you gave time, gravity would let the oils and the wine separate, right? Then if you did it and you facilitated it, you're not chayiv. Who holds like that? Amar Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shmuel. This goes like Rabbi Shmuel. This man, Hashum, Vahabusar, Vahamalilos, Shirishkan, Mibod Yom. If you have Shum, or Rabusar is, what's it called, grapes that aren't yet ripe. Or malilos, or different kinds of what's it called, kidneys. And you already were marasik them, you already crushed them before Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Yigmor Mishatechshach. You're allowed to continue and finish it off even on Shabbos. We'll see in 1 second what that means. But whatever it means is that somehow you're allowed to finish this process on Shabbos, something of it. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Lo Yigmor. Rabbi Akiva says you can't finish it on Shabbos. Rebbe Lezer, Omer Rebbe Lezer, right? Rebbe Lezer the Amora said in the name of Rebbe Lezer the Tana, he disnan, chalos dvash, shirisko. Oh, let's stop here. So that's the first thing. So Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina said that this goes according to Rebbe Shmuel, that the Shanai holds like Rebbe Shmuel, that if he started the process before Shabbos, and what's it called? Therefore, if you would have done this on Shabbos, it'd only be the Rabbanan, then they weren't gozer. And he holds like Rabbi Shmuel, the Shammai holds like Rabbi Shmuel, that since the things were crushed before Shabbos, doing it on Shabbos would not be a chiv. Rashi. The Osi Memele, Kagon Mashkim Halalu, Shinishotim Mealehem, Uvilvad Shiyasim Bodyom. Like these Mashkim that anyway would flow out by themselves. even if you didn't put any pressure on, because they were already, sucking again. The process didn't start when you put the beams on. The process started before that, when you trampled the grapes or you ground the olives. Then you put the boards on. At that point, if you would have put the boards on Shabbos itself, it wouldn't have been Chayv HaChatos. Busser anovim b'tchilosim shem dakin motzim en mashkim b'tabil bo busser l'fishu chazik v'korav l'hachmetz. Unripe olives, they used to use the juice of them for a tibul, for a dip, for meat. Melilo, shibolim shlobishlo kotzarchim, raskan, different kinds of wheat or barley or whatever, you crushed the places where the wheat is, whatever it's called. And then you put them under heavy stones. And also then liquid comes out of it, right? And you use it for a dip. Yigmor me'achar shiriskon, v'tzavron, v'kovid, yanichon v'kelim, v'yetzu me'atzman, umutu l'chatchila. Once you already crushed them, right? Put these heavy weights on them, the mash doesn't come out by itself anyway. So just a matter of facilitating it and forcing it, pressuring it, that's not an issur d'oraisa. Therefore, you're allowed to start it before Shabbos. Lo yigmor, osur lanichol mibol yom tachas kovdan, kedei ligmor mishetefshach. So Rabbi Akiva holds that you can't start the process erev Shabbos and let it finish on Shabbos, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that you can start the process before Shabbos and let it finish on Shabbos. So when it says yigmor mishetechshach and Rabbi Shmuel, Rashi learns that it means that you're allowed to, what's it called, the chatchila, leave it from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. But he doesn't say anything about having any kind of hanoah from the things that come out on Shabbos. Right? And he doesn't say anything about doing it on Shabbos mamash. Right? Just that you're allowed to finish it, let it finish on Shabbos. That's how Rashi learns. Rebbe Lezer the Amora, Rashi says, who Rebbe Lezer ben Tadas, who Amora? Omar Rebbe, he says Rebbe Lezer. This is the one who Beis Shammai holds that it's not an issur d'oraisa, says Rebbe Lezer. Who Rebbe Lezer ben Shamua? Stam Rebbe Lezer shal mishnu b'raisa. Rebbe Lezer ben Shamua is a Tana. So Rebbe Lezer the Amora said that this goes, Beis Shammai holds like Rebbe Lezer the Tana. What's that? It's not. Chalos dvash, yirizka be'er of Shabbos. You have beehive, okay? The honeycombs, that's what it is, that you crushed Erev Shabbos, the yotzu me'atzman osir. And then the honey came out on Shabbos by itself, so it's osir to be nehenet from that honey, because we're afraid that if you use the honey, you'll come to crush the, to squeeze the beehive and get the honey out, more honey out. Rebbe Lezer matter. And Rebbe Lezer, says that it's mutter. Okay? So we see the same thing over here. Once you crushed these olives and grapes, so you're allowed to finish the process. Just like over there, Rebbe Lezer holds that once the honeycombs were crushed, what comes out of it is okay. Allowed to use. Chalos dvash Rashi shakaveris rode va'asuyin k'min chalos shel shayva v'hadvash besochad. These are the honeycombs, right, that are inside the beehive. They have wax on the outside, and inside is the honey. Shariskan kosisan. You crush them. Asurin la'oso shabbos b'achila. You're not allowed to eat the honey that comes out of those beehives on Shabbos. Dvash la'achr shezov min achalos, nomi uchlehu, because dvash that comes out of the honeycomb is still, we didn't get it yet, so Mara says like this, so we have two different opinions, who Beis Shammai holds on, right? Reb Yossi Reb Hanina holds that it's Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of the Melilos, and Reb Elezer holds that it's Reb Elezer, in the case of the honeycombs. So Reb Yossi, Reb Chanina, my time alone with Reb Elezer. Why didn't he say like Reb Elezer that it's Reb Elezer? Why did he say it's Dafka, what's it called, Reb Yishmael? Amr lecha, hasam hu de mikara ochel u the sof ochel. Hacha mikara ochel the hashtomashket, because it's not compared to the case of the honeycombs. By the honeycombs, the dvash is ochel when it's in the honeycomb, and it's ochel when it comes out of the honeycomb. So maybe that's the reason that Reb Elezer holds that you're allowed to use the product on Shabbos if it was started before Shabbos, because it's food, and now it's food. You didn't change the state of the thing. But over by our case, by the grapes and the olives, when the liquid was in the pre, it's a food. Now it's a mashka. So maybe changing from a food to a mashka is a malacha, even if it was already crushed before. Therefore, you can't bring a proof from Rabbi Elezer. You can only bring the proof from Rabbi Shmuel. That's why he said it's not Rabbi Elezer, but it's Rabbi Shmuel who Beis Shammai holds like. Hacha mikara ochel v'hashtamashka. Rabbi Elezer amar lecha. Now what's Rabbi Elezer going to answer? Hashaminin le Rabbi Elezer dafilu zeisin v'amad namishari. No, I have another source, a brisa, that says that Rabbi Elezer was not matter only by a honeycomb, but he was matter even by what's it called, by olives and grapes. The haki also Rav Oshia min Narda, when Rav Oshia came from Narda, also va'aisi masnisa v'yod. He brought this brisa with him. Zaysim v'anovim shariska mer Shabbos v'yotzu me'atzman asurin. And if you have olives and grapes that you crushed before Shabbos, and then the liquid came out by itself on Shabbos, is also Rav Elezer, Rav Shimon matirin, and Rav Elezer, Rav Shimon say it's mutter. So you see that Rav Elezer didn't limit his heter only to honeycombs, but in anything. If the thing already was crushed before Shabbos, and the liquid is going to come out anyway by itself, so we're not afraid that you're going to squeeze it, because even if you squeeze it, right, and pressure it, you're only going to be over in the Rabban. And therefore the liquid is mutter. So what's it called? So we see that Rav Elezer holds that it's not only honeycombs, but even dates, olives, and grapes. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Baraisa lo Shmielei. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina never heard this Baraisa. So therefore, he didn't say that it goes according to Rabbi Elezer, because all he knew about Rabbi Elezer is that he holds that honeycombs are mutter, and you can't bring a raya from a honeycomb to grapes and olives, where there it was a solid, and now it's a solid, and here it's a solid, and now it's a liquid. Rabbi Elezer, my time alone with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Why didn't Rabbi Elezer say like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina? Why didn't he say that it was Rabbi Yishmael? Omer lecha, lavit maralo, omer rova bar chanina, omer rabbi yochanan, the mechusorim dicha, the kuleyama lo plige. Right? Because he held that Rabbi Shmuel's case is talking where it's what's it called, mechusor dicha. Ki plige mechusorim shchika. The honey nomik mechusorim dicha dumbo. You know, there's a case like this. They used to have three things they would do to these things, the olives or the grapes, before all the juice would come out. First, they trampled them and ground them up a little bit. Then they, pulverized them even more. The first stage is dicha. Okay? The first stage is risuk. Then comes dicha, then comes shechika. First they trample them a little bit and ground them up a little bit. Then they ground them up more, right, and trampled them more. And then finally they really, pressured them with heavy things or whatever and totally pulverized them to get all of the oil and the wine out. So in Rabbi Shmuel's case, if you just had risuk, the first stage, but you didn't have the second stage yet, everybody holds a saucer. When Rabbi Shmuel said that it's mutter, is where you had the second stage also, you're just missing the third stage. And our case, by the olives and the grapes of Beis Shammai, that when you put the heavy boards on it, it's already only after the first stage, not the second stage. So in Mela, he held that Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's only mutter after the second stage is done, between the second stage and the third stage. But if you're just between the first stage and the second stage, even Rabbi Shmuel holds aser. And our case of Beis Shammai is talking between the first stage and the second stage, not between the second stage and the third stage. Okay, see Rashi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Now, Hocha. Dvash, okay, this the Rashi before, after Asurim. Dvash la'achar shezob min achalos nomi uchlahu. Honey, when, even when it comes out of the honeycomb, is not considered a liquid, it's considered a solid. Hilkach lekele migzer beisha mi yisrot mishatesha v'lo shaychi beischita. The whole concept of schita is taking a liquid from a solid. That's disha. But a solid from a solid, Rabbi Shmuel holds b'chlal, is not disha, therefore there's no gzeira. Hocha zesim v'anovin v'asnisim v'mikora uchla v'hashta mashka ikele migzer shem yisrot mishatesha v'avad eschita. Right? Prika, nefari, which is a told of dosh, is where you take a liquid from a solid. Or a something that's a food from a non-food. But if you take food from food, that's not called mefarik. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, hach b'raisa d'ktoni, the polygraph lezer, after zeisim v'anovim, lo havish mile. He didn't hear that b'raisa, therefore he didn't want to say, just from the fact that Rav Lezer holds the Mishnah of, what's it called, of chalos devash, he couldn't bring a raya to the case of zeisim v'anovim. But Rav Lezer knew that braisa, and he knew that it wasn't limited to chalos devash, and therefore he did bring a braya. U'me'ahidah chalos devash, he mishnah v'perich chodesh, and nishbara lo havi motzi l'dmuya, v'masnisen, v'shum pirchad l'el, because here it's food and food, and there it's mashka from food. V'mechusaren dicha kuleyam lo plige, dasire. Everybody holds that if you're between the first and second stages, between risut and dicha, everybody holds it's awesome. You're not allowed to start the process before Shabbos and let it finish on Shabbos. The tinosum he gomeres, the nimsa kol osu b'Shabbos. Because then when you put the pressure on, you are causing the liquid to come out. Because if only you had the first stage, it wouldn't have come out completely by itself. Shchika, yoser midicha. Shchika is more than dicha. Loshen odochu b'meducha. V'rabosai gorsin ki pligi mechusorim schita. Shinidochu yofa ve'en tinosum gomeres el schita. Right? Depends what the putting the pressure on does. Putting the pressure squeezes them, or putting the pressure crushes them. Right? It's crushing. Our Mishnah is talking, right, the Mishnah where what they, the process they did with the grapes and the olives, right, was that they were still not totally ground. Right? There's trampling, grinding, crushing. Totally crushed. Okay? The olives and the grapes are in the state of being trampled but not ground. They're between trampling and grinding. The tzi'inosan he dichosan. He shochakosan. He sochatosan. And then after you, grind them, then you totally crush them, right? And so they're between the grinding and the crushing, that's where Rabbi Shmuel says it's mutter. But between the trampling and the grinding, it's not mutter. And our Mishnah is talking where you only trample them, and then you put the pressure on, and he holds that Rabbi Shmuel will hold that's awesome. Okay. What? There's all kind of Bishama, yeah. Yeah, Bishol holds mutter anyway. Okay. The Gemara just wants to know what's the difference between this and the other case in according to Bishama. Okay. Hora Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Krabi Shmuel, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, what's it called? Paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, that it's mutter, in the cases that Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's mutter. Okay, just let's go on and then we'll go back. Shemen shel badodim, umachatzolo shel badodim. Okay, Rashi learns this is a completely new inyan. It's talking about mukta. You have shemen, since we were talking already about the shemen that comes out of the, on Shabbos, so we're talking about some other different problem with shemen, right? Shemen shel badodim, Rashi says, I did the ayri bebeis habad, since we're talking already about oil presses, so it mentioned this too. Shemen hamishtair bezovios habad, tachas hati'ina. You have oil that's left in the, in the corners of the press. Behunitin lebadodim. So that was sold to badodim, to I guess, oil pressers or whatever. And they also, the, what's it called, the nets that cover the, what's it called, the olives, okay? Mats, they used to put mats on top of the olives to hold them down. Rav Osar, okay? Ushmuel Shori. Rav holds that they're mukta, and Shmuel holds that they're not mukta. Okay? Rav Osar, the tutula, you can't move them. Mishum mukta. The Rav Sovak Rav Yehuda, the Mukta, Rav holds that Rav Yehuda in Mukta, that there is such a thing as Mukta. Somebody puts this out of his mind, that's called Mukta. Just stop. I'm designating these things for sale. They're basically to be sold to Badodim or whatever, so therefore they become Mukta. Shmuel Sovak Rav Shimon, the Leslie Mukta, and Shmuel holds that Rav Shimon, who in many cases of Mukta doesn't hold a Mukta. So we'll see that Rav Shimon also holds a Mukta in certain cases. But in this, just found that the guy has designated it for sale, doesn't make it mukta. Later on, we get to the sugyas of mukta, we'll go more into this. But right now, let it suffice that Rav Shimon doesn't hold of many kinds of mukta, and Rav Yehuda does, and Rav holds a Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel holds a Rav Shimon. Okay. Karche dezuzi. Rashi says, "Karchi zug shel machatzolo shemachasim buenas a pragmatia shel svina." This is nets that are used for covering merchandise in a boat that you're selling. Okay, so it's designated to cover merchandise. The zuze loshen zug. Zuze is a pair. Lefisha ain shtai vasuyos ka'ohel, because they're always, these nets or these mats are always two together, and they make them like a like an ohel over the thing, like a teepee on two sides. Uvachuva sagaoni matzasi karche de zivi meforish uloshen svina uloshen arami. Zivi is a name of a boat in Aramaic. So karche means these mats or these nets that they put over merchandise in a boat to protect it. Rav asar Shmuel shari. Right, Rav holds that it's muksa, because you basically designated it for the sake of the merchandise, and the merchandise is muksa because it's designated for sale. So these things are designated, right, not to be used, but they're designated for things for sale. And Shmuel doesn't hold of that kind of muksa, and he holds mutter. Amr of Nachman, Eiz lechelba, v'rochel legizasa, v'tarnigolis lebeitzasa, v'tori deradya, v'tamrei deiska, Rav asar Shmuel mutter. What's it called? Shmuel, yeah, Omar Mutter. These cases are on Yontif. Yontif, you have a goat that you've been designating for milk, not for shechita. And then on Yontif, you decide you want to shecht it. So, Shaila is it mukta? Since you designated it for milk and not for shechting, right, maybe you, it's now it's mukta. Because, or you have a sheep that you designated to grow for wool, not for shechting. Tarnagolis with etzasa. You have a tarnagolis that you didn't have your mind on shechting it on yontif. You wanted to keep it for eggs. Or a shore that you didn't have in mind to shecht, you wanted to keep it to plow. And tamarim that you designated for merchandise, you want to sell them. You don't want to eat them. So all these things you were matzah midaitcha, right, not to use them on yontif. Not to shecht them on yontif. Right now, or to eat them on yontif. Now you change your mind, and you want to eat the dates instead of sell them, and shech the animal instead of keeping it for the other purpose that you had. So Rav holds its mukta, and you can't shecht it, and Shmuel holds its mutter, he doesn't hold of that kind of mukta. Kamiflagay, all of these things, Kamiflagay with Pluksa Rebuter of Shimon. They argue in the Machlokas Rebuter of Shimon whether mukta applies in these cases or not. Rashi, Eiz Halmedes Lechelba, V'chein Rochel Halmedes Legizasa, V'tura deridya homed d'charisha u'tmari d'iska homdim laholichon l'schora l'makom acher kluksa d'Rabbi Yehuda islay muktza v'perik achron asa l'sholchon b'yontif. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that of this kind of muktza, so you wouldn't be allowed to shecht it on yontif. Elim kein his minim v'yom, unless you prepare them before yontif, that you change your mind, you're gonna shecht them. But if you didn't, then they are omed for the other purpose. And they're muktza, you put them out of your mind, and therefore they're muktza to shech. Well, Rav Shimon, sure, Rav Shimon doesn't hold that kind of muktza, and therefore they're mutter to shech if you change your mind. Okay. Hahu Talmida, the Ori Becharta, the Argis, Rabbi Shimon. Right? There was a Talmud who paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Charta de Argis. Charta is the name of a place. Charta is a place. Argis is a person who built Rashi. So let's see the Rashi anyway. Charta Sheimakom, the Argis, Adam Echad Hoya Angushi, Shibonala also here. This guy was a magician and he built this city. Rav Hamanuna Darvin, Rav Hamanuna lived there. Vadain Ma'oris Kfuraso Kayemesha. And in this place, Charta, which was built by Argis, that was the name of the city. Charta is the name of the city. The Argis was built by Argis. And Rav Hamanuna lived there, and his grave is still there, right? Kach Motzosi B'tshuva. I found the tshuva from the Gaonim that Rav Hamanuna's kever is in Charta de Argis. So this town that paskin like Rav Shimon, Shamte Rav Hamanuna. So Rav Hamanuna was the Rav of the place, put him in Cherem. I behok Rav Shimon Sfiralon. The Maisa, we paskin like Rav Shimon. So what was the big deal? He paskin like Rav Shimon. Right? The halach is like Rav Shimon. Or it says, Ba'asri the Rav Havi. Right? That place was Rav's place. That was a place that followed Rav. The paskin like Rav Shimon, in a place where Rav, who paskin like Rav Yehuda, that was a chutzpah to Rav. Havi lol iboy li lemevet hoch. He shouldn't have done that. Honey trei talmidei chad matzul bechad mona the chad matzul ba'arba v'chomish money who commitfully gave two trei the rabba barzav the v'ravuna. This also has nothing to do, right? The Gemara later on speaks about if there's a fire on Shabbos, right? If what's it called? How much you can save? So the Gemara says you can save either three seudos, right? Not for Shabbos. Right, and the machlokas over there is, can you only do it in one kli, all in one kli, and then it doesn't make a difference how many sudos. But if you're doing it in more than one kli, it's only three sudos. Or you can save as much as you want, also in two, three, four kalim also. So, and then pour it into one kli. Right, but you can save what you have to save in different kalim too, with the Rashi. V'hokar of Shimon Sviralon, hashtekut l'kamon v'amay shante, Chad matzul, ochlin umashkin, mipnei hadleika. If you want to, yeah, there's a fire, you want to save food. Harbe l'chatzim rev, you want to put, not to do Rishis HaRabim, into a chatzim urevis, to say that we're afraid, though, if we let you save too much, you'll put out the fire. And if we don't let you save anything, you'll put out the fire. So they gave you a certain amount you can save, and a certain amount not. The chad monik, it is not matzilin sal molik kikros, afagav sheish bo megasudos. If it's one basket, then you can save as much as you want in one basket. Okay, v'chad matzul ba'arba v'chomish money. Ela shemekaplan kulon l'toch kli gadol v'nosom v'pamachas. Right? See, the other one held that better to save small amounts in different kalim and then put them all into one kali and then drag it out. Kamitla give a perikol kisvei kodesh. Later on, we get to there, we'll discuss it. But in any case, that's, I don't know, Rashi didn't say why the Gemara mentions this. It's like me'inyan le'inyan ba'oso inyan. I don't know what the connection is over here. Okay. Tosha says that the way Rashi describes it is not right. But when we get to Kol Kiste, we'll go into what the machlokas is over here. Let's go back. The Teirosh and Israsku Miba'od Yom. Okay, Rashi, what's it called, learns that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you're allowed to let the process finish on Shabbos, and Rabbi Kiva holds that you can't start the process before Shabbos because you're not allowed to let it finish on Shabbos. That's the machlokas, okay? But there's no, what's it called, talk about using the thing or finishing off the process by hand. It's just, can you start the process? Can you start the process? Rabbi Shmuel holds you can, and Rabbi Kiva holds you can. Tosfos learns that, in one of his pshatim, that the etzem mashke is mutter b'achil. You're allowed, what's it called, Bishmol holds, that when it says yigmur b'shabbos means you're allowed to let the process finish and you're allowed to drink the grape juice and use the oil on Shabbos. Okay? And Rabbi Akiva holds that you're not allowed to drink the juice or whatever. But even Rabbi Akiva can hold that you're allowed to start the process before Shabbos and let it finish. The only machlokas is, can you use the resultant juice or not. But even Rabbi Akiva holds that you're allowed to start the process and let it finish on Shabbos. but you can't have any benefit from it on Shabbos. Okay? So that's how Tosus learns the Machlokas. And then Tosus brings another Perush that Rabbi Shmuel holds, you're allowed Mamish to finish crushing it on Shabbos. You can, since it's all been crushed before Shabbos, and the stuff would come out anyway, you're allowed to facilitate it, not only by putting pressure on before Shabbos and letting the pressure go on Shabbos. Not only that can you drink the grape juice. You're allowed to put pressure on Shabbos on it and get more grape juice out. Because basically the process is finished. It's just a matter now of gravity and you putting your hand on it or stepping on it or whatever it is that you'll put pressure on it is motor. So those are the three different shot. And Lamaisa, like the third shot, is Mashman, the Rambam, and the Tur that Rabbi Shmuel holds, and that's how we paskin, that you can finish, if it went through all the, what's it called, the processes, then you can extract the juice even on Shabbos. Because basically it's just extracted. Okay?
It's like stirring the pot of beans.
What?
It's like stirring the pot of beans, making it cook a little faster with Rabbi Shmuel.
No, nothing to do with that. No, don't make any connections with that. Here it's not making anything cook or whatever. It's, we're talking with a process completely finished. You're just separating a liquid from a solid. It's already been separated.
But
right?
It's a whole different story, though.
Completely different book. I have a different story. Okay. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to... So this only is according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, none of this is relevant, because according to Beis Hillel, it's always mutter. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch passage, you're allowed to take whole grapes and whole olives, Erev Shabbos, right, and start the process, and start the process and let it finish on Shabbos. That's like Beis Hillel. The only problem is, the Mashkim Shezavu is a problem. Right, the things that come out, because they were afraid maybe if you'll let him benefit from the juice, he'll come to press more. Right, so that's only mutter if the grapes were crushed already before Shabbos. But if what's it called, the grapes were crushed before Shabbos, even the first thing, then you're allowed to use the mashka. And if they were already completely pulverized before Shabbos, then you're even allowed to finish it by hand. So that's how the halacha is according to Beis Hillel. You're allowed to start the process even if nothing was done to the grapes and the olives, as Shulchan Aruch says. If the grapes and olives, nothing was done to them before Shabbos, you can't be nehenna from the produce on Shabbos. You have to wait till after Shabbos. If they already were trampled before Shabbos, then you could be nehenna from the juices on Shabbos. And if they already were crushed, that's called before Shabbos, you're even allowed to squeeze them more to take out more on Shabbos. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Al-Yurabah argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that the liquid is only permitted, right, if they already were crushed, not just trampled. They had to be crushed. The second stage had to be done before Shabbos. But if only the first stage was done, that's where he argues on the Shulchan Aruch, then you can't use the mashke, right? Everybody holds that both stages had to be done, right, in order to be able to squeeze it more, right? But if the machlokas is, the first, if the no stages were done, then everything's usher except starting the process. First stage was done, the Shulchan Aruch holds you're allowed to drink the mashke, you're not allowed to finish off the process by hand on Shabbos. Okay? The Al-Yurabah holds you're not allowed to drink the mashke either. If the second stage was done, and the only thing now is needed to be done is the actual crushing or whatever, then the Al-Yurabah holds you're allowed to be in the henna from the mashke if the second stage was done, and you're even allowed to finish it off. And what's it called? And everybody holds it. Well, then you can't finish it off. But if it's right, it's, as long as it's what's it called, if the second stage was already done, then everything is mut. Okay. The Shemen Shel Badodim. Okay. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yosher hold that it's Gabi Mukta, right? Like Rashi, we learned the Rashi. And the Ritva says, why is it Mukta? Because they used to sell this shemen, they didn't use it, they sold it to Badodim. So it was Miyua, just like these nets for Pragmatia. Okay? And the halach is like Shmuel, that whole life is like Rav Shimon, but Mukta, these things are Mukta. Tosfos here learns a different shot. He says that it's talking about the oil that came out of the Koras Beis Habad, right? The Rambam, the Rif, the Rosh also learned it. And the Shaila is, why is it Osir? Because it's Nolad. Because Lechatchila wasn't Roy for anything, right? When Shabbos came in, if you have olives and dates that were, what's it called, that were under pressure before Shabbos, but when Shabbos came in, it wasn't an Ochel, it wasn't a Mashka, it wasn't edible at all, right? Now, Shabbos, what's it called, continued, and the pressure brought the thing out of the grapes and the olives, that of the olives, not from grapes, the olives, the olive oil wasn't edible, right, in the state that it was when Shabbos came in. Now it became edible, that's Nolad, and therefore it's Muktzah. Tosfos says a lot of things aren't edible when Shabbos come in, but they're there. Here, the liquid wasn't there Bechlal. It was Muvla in the olive in a different state. Now it's changed, and it's something that was not edible and wasn't even there before, right, is what's it called, is Nolad. Something that wasn't edible, but it was there. It just, something happened to it that made it edible. That's not called Nolad. That's what Tosfos says. But this is Nolad. And here, what's it called, the halacha, right, the halacha is that the mashkim shezavu is what's called mutarim, like Rabbi Shmuel we had before, that they, if you started the process before Shabbos, the mashkim that come out afterwards are mutar, and it's not considered nolad. But what's it called, but here's machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, whether this is nolad or not.